about some of the great ladies in Puranic history. And not that the men can't also listen, they can also be purified by hearing these instructive narrations. There are many such ladies mentioned in the Vedic literature, so I'll just mention a few. Of course, in the Vedic tradition or culture, the most important quality of a woman is considered to be chastity. But some of the great ladies in Vedic history don't appear superficially to have violated this principle. For instance, we know that Kunti Rani was a great devotee of Krishna, and she had a she is lauded as the mother of the Pandavas. But how she begot the Pandavas was not through her husband Pandu directly. She was she did so by calling various demigods. That was also, of course, with the permission and actually the order of her husband. But apart from that, she even had a son before marriage. Even today in India, that's considered very bad for a girl to have a child before marriage. Actually, it's sinful to have a child before marriage, but it's even more sinful to have an abortion either before or after marriage. So anyway, Kunti Devi had a child before marriage by the name of Karna. He was born from her ear, so I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but it's recorded so in the Mahabharata, and we accept it as thus. So she abandoned that child. She didn't kill him, but she abandoned him, which appears to be very cruel. And later, just before the battle of Kurukshetra, Kunti approached Karna. He was at that time performing austerities in the Himalayas, Subhil, at the place which is still known as Karna Prayag. So she approached him and said that, actually, you are my son. You are not Suta Putra. You are not the son of a charioteer. So please don't fight against my son. Please don't fight against your brothers. Actually, you are the eldest. You are older than Yudhishthira. So if this is revealed to Yudhishthira, he will accept you as the king, and you can all live happily together. But Karna wasn't satisfied. He said, now you're approaching me as mother, but you didn't behave like a mother when you abandoned me. And all these days I've been giving my allegiance to Duryodhana. So how can I abandon him now at this moment? He's given me the position, so much position, how can I abandon him at this most vital moment when he's depending on my help? But he told her that you are known as the mother of five sons. So I promise that at least from my side, you will never be, you will remain the mother of five sons. In other words, my main enmity is with Arjuna. So I won't attempt to kill Yudhishthira, Bhim, Nakula, Sahadeva. I will either kill Arjuna or be killed by him. In this way, you will remain the mother of five sons. So after this, Kunti revealed this information also to Yudhishthira. And he said, I always wondered if that might have been possible somehow. I always noticed that his feet look just like yours. So in this way, Kunti Devi, she appeared to be somewhat unchaste. Actually, she really had no choice when Suryadev came to impregnate her, as a result of which Karna was born. But anyway, we understand that in the case of great personalities like Kunti Devi, these events are all ordained by the Lord for the sake of facilitating his pastimes. Now, another famous chaste lady is, of course, Sita Devi. But it's surprising to know that recorded in history as another very chaste lady is her opposite number, Mandodari. Because just as Sita was the wife of the most pure Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mandodari was the wife of the most wretched Rakshasa. But despite the fact that her husband was a great Rakshasa, she is nevertheless, by her personal behavior, she's considered very chaste and pure. And herself being a chaste wife, she could understand the power of Sita. And like several others, she repeatedly told Ravana that keeping Sita is going to cause your destruction and that of our whole family. Because Mandodari knew, herself being a chaste woman, knew the power of a chaste woman. That if a chaste woman is insulted, then disaster ensues. So actually, after Ravana was killed, Vibhishana was installed as the king of Lanka by Lord Ram, and Mandodari was married to him. But that doesn't violate her exemplary behavior. Another ideal chaste lady whose character is described in Ramayana is Tara, who of course comes from the monkey community. Although the monkeys, they don't seem to be like the ordinary monkeys jumping around like you see. You don't see much in Vellore, but in many places. It seems to me that there are many more monkeys in North India than South India, but we'd have to do a census to find out, but that seems to be my general observation. So at that time there were many monkeys in South India also, because that's, or Central India, South Central India, where Ram came in contact with Hanuman, Sugriva and others. So Tara was the wife of Vali.
Taragai Valiyinudaiya manaivi.
And she was a very intelligent lady, very expert in handling diplomatic situations. And she also, after the death of Vali, and even before so actually, because he was presumed to be dead, she consorted with Sugriva. But nevertheless, her character is considered exemplary. Who is the wife of Hanuman? Hanuman is famous as a great brahmachari. The brahmacharis used to worship Hanuman, strength. So anyway, today we're not talking about the brahmacharis, we're talking about the ladies. So it may be said, well, the brahmacharis, they get so much shakti from performing tapasya and maintaining brahmacharya. But traditionally, women, they don't go to gurukul or become brahmacharinis or any such thing. There have been some instances are there, but the general prescription is that women should be married. So you may say, well, you know, how are they supposed to make any progress then? But it is described in Shastra that the women, whatever benefit one may get from performing tapasya or whatever benefit a man may get by performing tapasya or brahmacharya or any such thing, women can get simply by being chaste to their husbands, by serving their husbands. I don't know about nowadays, but previously the culture was very strong. The ladies used to massage their husband's feet at night and serve him in so many ways. That's why Vyasadeva, he said that actually it's better to be a woman than a man, because men have to go through so many austerities to make spiritual advancement. When we come to bhakti, it's a different consideration. But anyway, we're talking on the general platform now, not talking about bhakti specifically. So Vyasadeva said that women, they're in a better position, because simply by serving their husbands, they get the results of performing all sacrifices, performing all austerities and so on. So we were saying in the case of Sita Devi, how due to her being insulted, the whole dynasty of the Rakshasas was destroyed. So in the two great histories of India are histories of great battles. That is Ramayana and Mahabharata. And in both cases, the battle came about because of insults to chaste women. Just as the Ram-Ravan Yudha was fought over Sita, so the crucial matter on which the Kurukshetra war was fought was the insulting of Draupadi. Yudhishthira was very mild by nature, even though he was the son of Yamaraj. And he would have been willing to forgive and forget everything, most likely. But Bhim, he was not at all mild by nature. He was very aggressive by nature. So Draupadi always took shelter of Bhim especially. And during their year, of course, he was also the strongest of the Pandavas, apart from being the most aggressive. So during their years in exile, Draupadi was always reminding Bhima that you promised to kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. I'm not forgetting that promise. And Bhima also said, I am also not forgetting. Now again, superficially it may seem that Draupadi was less than ideal. In fact, there's a story Prabhupada told, it's of one pundit in Bengal who approached the king and said, you are a great king, just like the Pandavas. So you should also have a book like the Mahabharata written about you. So you just give me some regular donations and I'll write a Mahabharata about you. So time to time he came and took some more advances, and the king said, how is the writing going on? He said, very good, very good. So this went on for a few years. Eventually the king said, look, I can't wait any longer, just finish it off and, you know, give it, let's have the Mahabharata about me published. So the pundit said, all right. Pundit said, okay. But there's just one detail I need to finish the book. You have to tell me. How many husbands does your queen have? He said, one, of course. He said, well, then the whole thing's spoiled, because unless your wife has five husbands, then the whole thing's useless. So in this way, he cheated the king. So it's unusual that having more than one husband. There are some famous actresses in the Western countries who have had more than five husbands. If you haven't heard of Liverpool, you haven't heard of Elizabeth Taylor, but she went through so many husbands. Of course, not all at the same time. I think she married one man, she married about eight times. She divorced him, married him, and in between she used to marry some other people also. But this is not considered very chaste. In Vedic culture, polygamy is acceptable, but polyandry isn't. Do you know what that means? Polygamy means a man to have many wives. Polyandry means for a wife to have many husbands. Of course, polygamy means to have to maintain several wives at once. In modern society, this has been rejected by Pandit Nehru. He has overruled the Shastras and introduced the divorce law. Actually, he shouldn't be called Pandit, because Pandit means one who follows the Shastras. So according to the divorce law, you may have many wives, but one at a time. According to Vedic culture, if a man has sufficient physical and fiscal strength, he may maintain at the same time more than one wife. Just like even sometimes that's going on nowadays, but generally they take one. Just like you see in Gujarat, even up until recently, it was common that if a man, he had a wife and she didn't have any children, he'd take another wife, but he'd keep the first one also. Not that he threw her out of the door. But nowadays it's quite common if a man, he doesn't have any children, then he throws out the wife and takes another one. So there are so many wrong ideas being introduced in modern society. But anyway, Draupadi's case is unusual, but not culpable.
Not?
Subject to blame. At the same time, it's not to be imitated. So all the young girls, they're supposed to be brought up being told stories of the great chaste women like Sita, Savitri, and so on. But I don't know, nowadays they're probably brought up seeing the movie actresses and Miss World, Miss Universe, and all this kind of thing. This is actually extremely low class for a woman to parade herself in front of others with, you know, most of her not properly clothed. So we can ask the young girls to realize the value of their culture. Don't become a playgirl, but chant Hare Krishna and be a good wife. Otherwise, how can you be happy, even on the material platform? There are so many independent women, but they're not happy. They think, now I'm free to do as I like, but that doesn't mean you're happy. no one cares for them. So please understand these important principles of traditional Indian culture. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions?
Yedavadhu kelvi?
What is this? You're putting this nice tilak, but it should be a little longer. You see, on the nose it should come down. This tilak, that is meant for going round and round in the material world. This one is meant for going up to Vaikuntha. That's a fact. So better to wear this tilak. Okay. Any question? But if you're like Aishwarya Rai, then you'll attract all kinds of ravenous.
This is a different question, Maharaj. Yeah. Why should we worship Krishna?
That is the natural function of the soul. Everyone is worshipping someone. That is the tendency. Many young men in India nowadays, they practically worship Sachin Tendulkar. Isn't it? They keep his photo on the wall. They produce little books about him telling that his favorite food is steak. Oh, he's a meat eater, a cow eater. Instead of having pictures on their wall of Sita Ram or Radha Krishna, they have pictures of Sachin and Aishwarya.
Radha Krishna photo vyum Ram Sitanudaiya photo vyum vekkiradhukku badhil indha Sachiniyum Aishwarya Rayanudaiya photo vyum vekkiranga.
So the tendency to worship is there.
Vanangra yelpu irukkirathu.
But if we worship Krishna, we become purified and we go to the spiritual world.
Namba Krishna ra vanangamna suttamai Krishna ulagathukku povom.
If we worship anyone else, we remain in the material world. Even if you worship Murugan or Uma Shankar or whatever, you remain in the material world. Of course, worship of Murugan is much better than worship of Sachin. But still, Krishna bhakti is the natural function of the soul, and that is superior to all other forms of worship. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param. When Parvati asked her husband, Lord Shiva, that there are so many forms of worship given in Shastra, which is the best, he said that Vishnu Aradhana, that is the best.
Shivajiya vandu Parvati Mata kekranga irukra aradhanigalile edhu miga sirandha aradhanai yara vanangiradhu miga sirandhadu appo Shivar solraare irukra aradhanigaliye Vishnu aradhanai than miga sirandhadu nu avarku andammaku avar solraar.
That's why I'm saying that this kind of tilak that will keep you in the material world. Because that is based on Shiva worship or related forms of worship such as Shiva, Shakti, கணேஷ் முருகன்
அந்த மாதிரி பட்டை போட்டுக்கிறது வந்து சிவர் சிவஜியும் முருகர் இவங்களெல்லாம் வணங்கறதுக்கு இங்கேயே வைக்கிறதுக்கும்
சக்தி
சக்தி விநாயகர் இவங்களெல்லாம் வணங்கறதுக்கு
உண்மையான
ஆதி பராசக்தி ராதா தான்
Durga is only the representation of the spiritual energy But she is the representation within the material world.
Durga Devi and avargalude sakti enna oru pagudhi dhaan. Avanga vandu indha bhaudhiga bhaudhiga ulagathukku avanga dhaan vandu avanga dhaan merparvayala.
Sister mari
adha. Yeah, Krishna's sister is Durga. Within this material world, Durga Devi appears as the sister of Krishna.
So he is asking, can we worship her because she is Krishna's sister?
You can worship anyone you like, but Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param.
நீங்க யாரோ வேணாலும் வணங்கலாம் ஆனா திரும்பியும் அந்த சிவன் சொன்ன அதே ஸ்லோகத்தை தான் சொல்றாரு இருக்கிற ஆராதனைகளிலேயே சிறந்த ஆராதனை விஷ்ணு ஆராதனை தான்
We are all sons of Krishna. The thing is that by worshipping Krishna you get one result and by worshipping Shakti or Durga you get another result.
அது உண்மையிலே பாக்க போனா நீங்க கிருஷ்ணரை வணங்கிறதுனால ஒரு பலனும் துர்கையை வணங்கிறதுனால வேற விதமான பலனும் கிடைக்குது.
யாந்தி தேவவ்ரதா தேவான் யாந்தி what is that verse? யாந்தி தேவவ்ரதா தேவான் யாந்தி பித்ர Pitrivataha, Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja, Yanti Madhyajino Pimam. Do you know the translation of that? Do you know the translation? In Bhagavad Gita, yeah, say.
By worshipping. Yeah. Tell it in
Tamil. You can tell it in Tamil, yeah.
Number one,
by worshipping demigods, you go to the demigods. By worshipping the forefathers, you go to the forefathers. By worshipping ghosts, you become a ghost. And by worshipping Krishna, you go to Krishna.
நம்ம தேவர்களை வணங்குறதுனால தேவர்களிடையும் பூதங்களை வணங்குறதுனால பூதங்கள் கிட்டையும் முன்னோர்களை வணங்குறதுனால முன்னோர்கள் கிட்டையும் ஆனா கிருஷ்ணரை வணங்குறதுனால கிருஷ்ணர்கிட்டயும் போவோம்
So all depends where you want to go.
அதெல்லாம் நீங்க எங்க போக விரும்புறீங்களோ அதை பொறுத்தது.
But if you go anywhere in the material world, you have to suffer repeated birth and death.
இந்த பூலோக பௌதிக உலகத்துல எங்க போக விரும்புறீங்களோ நீங்க துன்பம் தான் அடையணும்.
So better worship Krishna.
அதனால கிருஷ்ணரே வணங்குங்க.
All right. Is it all clear?
Ramana.
Oh, more questions. Okay.
What are the rules and regulations to worship Krishna step by step?
This is a very nice question. What are all the rules and regulations for worshipping Krishna step by step?
இது ரொம்ப நல்ல கேள்வி. எப்படி கிருஷ்ணரை எப்படி படிபடியா நம்ம கிருஷ்ணரை வணங்கணும்னு கேக்குற இந்த கேள்வி.
Do you have a lot of time, like you know, a few days, and I can tell you.
உங்களுக்கு நிறைய ஒரு ரெண்டு மூணு நாள் இருந்தா நான் சொல்றேன்.
Otherwise, I can give you this book, Bhakti Yogam, which I compiled for that purpose.
அதற்காகவே நான் ஒரு புத்தகம் எழுதினேன் பக்தி யோகம் அப்படின்ற ஒரு புத்தகம் இருக்கு.
Do you have that book?
அந்த புத்தகம் இருக்குதா உங்ககிட்ட?
Who has that book? So can you please arrange that she gets that book?
நீங்க அந்த புத்தகத்தை வாங்கி படிங்க. அதுலயே எல்லாமே இருக்கு.
Where did I come from? Yeah, here's the
இதுதான் அப்படி காட்டுற.
She has.
Not yet purchased.
So you can give her.
Yeah,
she will purchase from. Okay. So that gives a basic overview and then for more details you have to see the Nectar of Devotion.
அது வந்து மிகவும் அடித்தளமான எல்லாத்துக்கும் கொடுங்க. இதை விட இன்னும் டீட்டெயில்ஸ் வேணும்னா
ஒரு லெட்டர் ஆஃப் இன்ஸ்ட்ரக்ஷன்
ஒரு லெட்டர் ஆஃப் டிவோஷன் பக்தி ரசாமிருத சிந்து
அப்படின்னு ஒரு புக் இருக்கு அது தமிழ்லயே வந்திருக்கு அதை வாங்கி படிக்கலாம் பக்தி ரசாமிருத
சிந்து The most important thing is chanting the holy names of Krishna.
மிகவும் முக்கியமான விஷயம் என்னன்னா ஜபம் பண்ணணும் ஹரே கிருஷ்ண மகாமந்திரத்தை ஜபம் பண்ணணும்
There are other details which are given in this book.
மற்ற விவரங்கள்லாம் இந்த புத்தகத்துல இருக்கு
Thank you very much for a nice question.
மிகவும் நன்றி நல்ல கேள்வி கேட்டதற்கு மிகவும் நன்றி
So anything else?
வேற ஏதாவது இருக்கா?
Why Lord Rama killed the valley?
Why did Ram kill valley from behind a tree?
ஏ ராமர் வந்து வாலியே ஒரு மரத்துக்கு பின்னாடி இருந்து ஒளிஞ்சிட்டு ஏன் சாவச்சாரு?
How do you know that Ram killed valley from behind a tree?
எப்படி உங்களுக்கு தெரியும் ராமர் வந்து மரத்துக்கு பின்னாடி இருந்து வாலியை கொண்டாரு உங்களுக்கு எப்படி தெரியும்
So the answer is given I know from Ramayana
அதற்கான பதில் வந்து ராமாயணத்து மூலமா எனக்கு தெரியும்
So do you remember also in Ramayana that Vali himself asked Lord Ram why are you killing me like this
உங்களுக்கு தெரியுமா ராமாயணத்துல வாலியே கேட்டார் ஏன் மரத்து பின்னாடி ஒளிஞ்சிருந்து என்ன சாகடிச்சன்னு வாலியே கேட்டார்
So Ram also gave the answer
ராமரோ அதற்குரிய பதில கொடுத்தார்
So what is the answer
என்ன பதில்
He gave several answers
அவர் நிறைய பதில் கொடுத்தார்
One is that Vali was saying that you should have fought me according to dharmic principles but Ram said that you yourself had violated dharmic principles by unreasonably exiling your brother Sugriva
நீங்க தர்மத்துக்கு எதிராக நடந்துக்கிட்டீங்கன்னு வாலி சொன்னப்போ நீயே அதர்மமா நடந்துக்கிட்ட சுக்ரீவனை அதர்மமா நாட்டை விட்டு கடத்தினது மூலமா நீயே ஒரு அதர்மவாதியா நடந்துக்கிட்ட அப்படின்னு சொன்னார்
Another point is that actually as a monkey you don't qualify to be within these dharmic principles anyway.
எப்படியோ நீ வந்து ஒரு குரங்கா இருப்பதனால தர்மத்தினுடைய சட்டதிட்டங்களுக்கு நீ உன்னை கட்டுப்படுத்த முடியாது.
And the kshatriya doesn't go to search out a fight for monkeys but he may shoot them not exactly indiscriminately but freely within the forest which is what I did.
ஒரு சத்ரியன் குரங்கோட எதிர்க்க எதிராக சண்டை போட மாட்டான் ஆனா ஒரு காட்டுல குரங்க வந்து வேட்டையாட முடியும்
So then Vali he eventually realized actually I'm very lucky to be killed by the supreme personality of Godhead
கடைசியில் வாலி நினைச்சார் நான் மிகவும் அதிர்ஷ்டசாலி ராமரால் கொல்லப்பட்டதனால நான் மிகவும் அதிர்ஷ்டசாலி நினைச்சார்
Hare Krishna. We'll distribute this prasad.